from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Monday to you, America. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Man, it's been a crazy weekend, a crazy start to the week. Government still shut down, and there's no end in sight. Let me tell you just some programming notes. We were supposed to be in Washington broadcasting our show a Tuesday through Thursday, and there was a big gala I was supposed to attend. All of that's been canceled as a result of the shutdown, so we are still at broadcast headquarters as a result of the shutdown. But I'm telling you, at some point, the Democrats are going to have to blink, because the Republicans are not blinking here, folks, at all. And the Democrats have pretty much lost everybody, including their defenders within the mainstream media. And Mike Johnson, Speaker Mike Johnson's really done a brilliant job of setting the narrative and advancing the narrative. And the even the mainstream media, they can't get around the fact that this was a clean resolution. Again, this was all clean. There was nothing added to it. This was simply a continuing resolution. And the Democrats were the ones who tried to botch all of this. So we'll see how this plays out this week. If we go through the end of the week and there is still no resolution here, this could go on for a while, a very long time. At some point, by the way, Trump is going to have to start laying people off and eliminating jobs. That should have already started last week. So also, we're following some breaking news out of Virginia, and we're going to be talking to our good buddy Jeff Katz over at WRVA, our great affiliate in Richmond. Also, the Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears is expected to drop by at around, 1235-ish Eastern time on the show, so we'll hopefully be able to get some new information from her. In the meantime, I don't know how our buddy Paul Shanklin does this. I don't know. The guy's got incredible sources, but he has got some brand new intel when it comes to the shutdown and all of this, the ICE raids and dispatching the National Guard. Let's take a listen to Paul's exclusive work.
All right, settle down, settle down. Keep calm. We got a problem. A shutdown, I repeat, a shutdown of the United States federal government. Now, if you're about to ask if it's a real crisis, Otis, it is. I mean, who's going to keep track and count all those lines on the expressways all across our land? Or what are the plants in the national forest? Did you ever think about that?
Oh, no, Bernie. No, no, no.
Not to mention protecting the Emancipation Proclamation.
Barney, you know you beat all.
You're supposed to be on the streets of Memphis. But all I got's this one bullet.
All right, take my Glock. But I want it back.
Can I have the switch?
No. Uh-uh.
All right, there you go. It's look, it's so crazy, even Barney Fife wanting to get out there and do what he can do to help the country. So can we talk about Brandon Johnson for just a moment, the mayor of Chicago? This guy is completely unhinged. And Brandon Johnson holding a press conference this morning, and he is enraged that Trump is sending in the National Guard. Now, the reality is what's happening and what happened over the weekend is in fact an act of war, but Brandon Johnson is taking it a step further, and now he is threatening to go to war against the United States of America. Cut number 12, please.
Well, look, our corporate counsel has been in constant communication with our attorney general for several months now, and I just wanted to offer this up. A couple of years ago, I said very candidly that the right wing in this country wants a rematch of the Civil War. I want that to sit in right now, because the president of the United States of America has declared war on the people of Chicago and people across America.
Right.
He's more interested in giving billions of dollars to other nations while farmers in urban cities around this country are literally being destabilized. And so whether it's the legal system, whether it's through executive order, or whether it's through the brave women and men who are serving as rapid responders, we literally have people who are volunteering in this city, on the southwest side, the northwest side, all over this city, to make sure that we're protecting children from being separated from their families. And we're talking about volunteers who are literally putting themselves at risk of being shot and killed by the federal government. And so whether it's the legal system, whether it's our continuous struggle for liberation through organizing, and whether it's through executive action, or whether it's through law, it would be nice if we actually had lawmakers in Washington that would actually hold this president accountable. And if they won't do it, then the city of Chicago will, using every single tool that's available to us.
So he goes on to say, after all of that, that a declaration of war is not out of the realm of possibility. Well, I hate to break this to the mayor here, but that's not going to end well for Mayor Brandon Johnson. And honestly, folks, I'm getting a little frustrated with the federal government playing softball with these people. Over the weekend, you had ICE agents that physically came under attack, not one time, but two times. And that's got to stop. You had a situation where the ICE agents were being overwhelmed by crowds. They put out the all call, and the Chicago police officers were told to stand down by their superiors. Understand this. You had rank-and-file officers willing and ready to go to the aid of these ICE agents, and the Chicago Police Department, the leadership, told them to stand down. I'm just curious why the head of the Chicago Police Department is not in jail today. Why is it that the command force of the Chicago Police Department, they are not in federal custody right now? That's the only way we're going to stop all this nonsense. And if we're going to be messing around here, and an ICE agent is going to get shot, God forbid an ICE agent is going to get killed. That's what's going to happen, which is why we've got to start playing hardball. I'm done with these people. You've got a mayor of a major American city throwing around terms like going to war. What's wrong with you? And again, why haven't we defunded these cities? They are still sanctuary cities, right? So why haven't we defunded these people? It is a source of great frustration, because we're talking a good talk, right? But the game is not there. And we have got to start delivering on all of this. And one of the easiest ways to do it is to immediately defund any city that is aiding and abetting these criminal illegals. They got to go right now. It's really it really is that simple. For me, there's no other way forward. And what better place to start than Chicago and Portland? And if we can get, because right now Portland is overrun by Antifa. I mean, it's appalling what's happened in Portland. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Dinesh D'Souza has done it again. His new eye-opening movie, The Dragon's Prophecy, illuminates a 3,000-year-old mystery about Israel, the dark resurrection, and the end of days. The nation of Israel is a resurrected nation, but what if there was going to be a resurrection of another people, an enemy of Israel? After the horrific attack of October 7th, The Dragon's Prophecy offers new understanding on Israel, radical Islam, anti-Semitism, and biblical prophecy. Could it be that the fate of the world, of all humanity itself, is tied to what we're seeing in the Middle East? Based on the number one international bestseller by Jonathan Cahn, The Dragon's Prophecy reveals how another realm could be transforming our world as we speak. Don't miss Dinesh D'Souza's new movie, The Dragon's Prophecy, in theaters two nights only, October 6th and 8th, streaming and DVDs available October 9th. All tickets and pre-orders at thedragonprophecyfilm.com, thedragonsprophecyfilm.com. All right, welcome back, everybody. Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears from Virginia coming up in just a few moments. But first, I wanted to touch base with our good buddy Jeff Katz, afternoon drive host over at WRVA. You hear him filling in on this program and many other great shows around the nation. Mr. Katz, wow, what a mess in Virginia right now.
Oh, good gosh almighty, Todd. It's getting nastier and messier by the day. It's awful.
So help set the stage for us, Jeff. You've got some major races, of course, the Attorney General's office being one of them. And the nominee, the Democrat nominee, has some text messages out there from several years ago directed at the then House Speaker there in Virginia.
Yeah, it's an ugly situation. Jay Jones is the Democrat's name. Jay Jones is a member of the House of Delegates. And he was texting at the time, a couple of years back, with another state delegate, a woman by the name of Carrie Coyner out of Petersburg, Virginia. She happens to be a Republican. And he was fantasizing about killing the Speaker of the House, Todd Gilbert. He said to Carrie Coyner, if I had three people, Adolf Hitler, Todd Gilbert, and Pol Pot, and I only had two bullets, I would put both bullets into the head of Todd Gilbert. To put it mildly, Carrie Coyner was appalled and texted back and said that to him, and then he just kept at it. He said that he had hoped that the Gilbert's children would die in the arms of the mother, Jennifer Gilbert. He had hoped that Jennifer Gilbert would be watching her own children die, because in his mind, he said, it's only when somebody experiences some sort of a personal loss that they will change their mind politically. And if you look at the tone of it, as he's talking about putting two bullets into the head of Todd Gilbert, he says, when I think about this, and so you have to wonder, is this the first time or is this the just the most recent time?
I mean, the guy went on to say that he was going to urinate on Mr. Gilbert's gravesite, and also said that they were breeding little fascists. That's what he called these two precious children of Todd and Jennifer Gilbert.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it's just awful. Just absolutely awful. And obviously, as you have, you've read the text, National Review had them first. The reality is that he was happy, apparently, about all that he was saying. He had no regrets. He offered these things without being prompted. I mean, just vile, disgusting comments. And this is the guy who wants to be the chief law enforcement officer here in my beloved Commonwealth of Virginia.
It's shocking. And by the way, folks, we actually have images of the text messages. We have the screenshots over at toddstearns.com, and I'd encourage you to go and read them for yourself. Jeff, what's really shocking here? I mean, this is so egregious. I mean, even the folks over at PMS Now say, yeah, the guy's got to go. But his own party is saying, yeah, we don't have a problem with this.
Oh, Todd, this is the worst part, I guess. The Virginia Democrats have not only not called for him to step down, they're not only not pressuring him to step down, they've doubled down in their support of him. And they are pitching the line of, well, sure, he said all this stuff, but come on now, let's forgive him and move on. And Trump, Trump, Trump. They go right back to every part of this campaign is somehow about President Trump. It's ludicrous. The candidate for governor, Abigail Spanberger, and of course you're going to be talking to my Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears in a couple of moments. Abigail Spanberger was calling on her supporters to, quote, let your rage fuel you, talking, you know, encouraging violence and violent behavior and awful, awful behavior. Ghazala Hashmi, who is the Democrats' nominee for lieutenant governor, has been a major supporter of the Hamas crowd. So, these are three of the worst people anywhere on God's green earth, and Virginia Democrats are supporting them completely, totally.
You know, I'm really getting tired of these Democrats out there, and Spanberger being one of them. She made that comment in the aftermath of the Charlie Kirk assassination, and yet, you know, her defenders come back and say, well, there's no way that she's advocating for violence. Really? Because that's not how I'm taking it.
Oh, it's exactly how I'm taking it as well. And we've seen this, Todd. You and I have seen this throughout the years. We know the party, unfortunately, that has embraced violent behavior. And I suppose if you can convince boys that they're really girls and girls that they're really boys on Wednesday, but they're, I don't know, a desk phone on Thursday, whatever you want to be, you can ignore that part of reality. And then you keep telling these people, well, Donald Trump is Hitler and every Republican is Hitler and they're destroying our country. They're eliminating freedom and liberty. You've got deranged people who have apparently taken it to heart. And one of them is this Jay Jones who wants to be the attorney general. It really is just disgusting.
Have we heard from Todd Gilbert at all? Any reaction from him?
No, he has not said a word. Jay Jones claims that he reached out to Todd and Jennifer Gilbert to apologize, but that's Jay Jones saying that, and well, you know, it's Jay Jones. No, we have not heard anything from the former speaker.
Delegates. How do you apologize for any of that? I mean, there is no apology. I wouldn't.
No.
I'd be terrified to even pick up the phone if that guy was calling.
No kidding. I don't know. And again, it's foreign to you. It's foreign to me because we don't say things like that. We don't think like this. But even when Jay Jones appeared on television, he sat down with a reporter from Channel 8 here in Richmond over the weekend to address this issue. And he said, oh, well, as I looked at those emails, gosh, I was appalled. I'm filled with regret and blah. But never once does he really back off of what he has said. And those comments are now part of a major campaign spot on behalf of Republicans that began airing and running here in Virginia a few hours ago.
Do you think it's going to make a difference? Will this have an impact in the race?
I hate to say it. It certainly, unfortunately, is not going to impact the Virginia Democrats because they are just marching in lockstep for that team. It will, I think, probably inspire more Republicans to go out and vote early, vote now while this is fresh in their minds. I do think it will probably have some impact on independents. That race between Jason Meares and Jay Jones has actually been the tightest of those three races. And this, who knows, this might be what pushes Jason back into the win column come November the 4th.
Jeff, I've got about 60 seconds here, and there's some new polling data out showing Spanberger with a double-digit lead in the race. CNN has a headline that came out about 18 hours ago. Trump snubs Virginia GOP nominee for governor, even as she's attacked as too MAGA. What's up with that?
It's an interesting relationship. During the primary, Lieutenant Governor Sears said that President Trump should not be seeking the Republican nomination and called on Republicans to move on from President Trump. So I don't know if she has now gone back and asked him for an endorsement. I have no idea. But clearly, President Trump very, very heartily came out and said Jay Jones is a lunatic. We knew that. And Jason Meares absolutely has to be reelected. So he has my full endorsement. I don't know if it was a snub of the lieutenant governor or not, but he did go in completely, totally in his endorsement of Jason Meares.
Wow. Interesting. Well, we're going to be following all of these developments, and it's going to be insane as we move towards Election Day there in Virginia.
Absolutely.
All right, Jeff Katz, always good talking to you, my friend. I know you've got a busy day ahead of you. Thanks for taking some time for us.
Always time for Todd and your listeners, my friend.
All right. The great Jeff Katz, everybody, WRVA in Virginia. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest three-in-one sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98 and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a six-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium MyPillows made with Giza cotton. Queen $17.98, Kings only $19.98. Also for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS. And welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Anthony in Alabama. Hi, Anthony. What's on your mind today?
Hello, Mr. Starnes. And thanks for that opening statement you made about these cities and the people who they should cut their funding off the federal government. But I fear that's not going to happen too much. And I also would like to know why the people who run these cities, the city councils, the mayors, these states like Illinois, why aren't the elected officials being arrested for harboring fugitives from justice, aiding and abetting criminals, this illegal alien thing that's going on, and they're supposed to be sanctuary cities? These are criminals, and I fear that the Trump administration is really not going to do too much about that. I just read an article in Gateway Pundit where the DOJ, and they're not really doing much of anything, and there's some really good reasons why. Trump's kind of hands off with his DOJ, and there's like hundreds and thousands of people from the past administration who are still in the DOJ, and a lot of these people in that bureaucracy are out there putting mischief afoot. They're making excuses why they're not arresting people, why they're not going after these people, because they don't have enough evidence or they're not going to get a good jury pool, so things like that, and I fear that nothing is going to be much done. I mean, you haven't seen anybody go to, they have all this evidence on Letitia James. Nobody's done anything about her. So I would like to know why they don't just arrest these people, these city council members and these mayors and even governors like Pritzker and who's a couple other knuckleheads out there.
Well, let me ask you this, Anthony. So you believe that we need to start playing hardball. And the reason why, by the way, the reason they're not doing it is because they're afraid of the blowback that they would get. I no doubt about that. But you think that's what they ought to do?
Yep, you're exactly right. And I also read that they're afraid of the press, and they're afraid of – actually, the Republicans don't want to do – you haven't seen Johnson do a darn thing. What has he done since he's been Speaker of the House? He hasn't done hardly anything. These people, they're afraid of the blowback. And Trump, well, he's kind of hands-off with his DOJ and all. I think he's making the same mistakes he made with that in 2016.
Yeah.
Not – going after these people, the DOJ girl, she should have been removed a long time ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
and if you go back and look at what she did with the Trayvon Martin and the George Zimmerman thing, you'll see she actually created, she was the one who started the Black Lives Movement thing. She got that ball rolling with all of that. And the thing that took place over there.
All right. Well, let me jump in here. You got to take a breath, Anthony. let me jump in here, my friend. Look, here's the reality of it. The clock is ticking. We are almost a year into, it's October, so we're almost a year into the administration. Not much is going to happen during the holidays. I think after Thanksgiving, that's it. We are still at the same spending levels. Let's just say that they finally get the Democrats on board and that they do pass the CR, same spending levels of the Biden administration. Nothing's really been cut. I mean, there's been a lot of talk, a lot of hype, a lot of bluster, and it's all great. But the reality is really nothing has been done of substance. And if we don't get it done in these first 2 years, nothing's going to get done, and it will be an incredibly squandered opportunity. Anthony, I appreciate the call. And let me say this, ladies and gentlemen. The reason why this is so vitally important is because we've got a country to save. And if you thought that the assassination of Charlie Kirk was going to bring this country together, it was going to unite everyone, no. As a matter of fact, I think, if nothing else, the assassination of Charlie Kirk has exposed how divided this country is. I mean, there's some very dangerous people out there on the other side of the aisle. I wrote an op-ed over at ToddStearns.com where I just flat out called the Democrats the party of Satan. And how can they not be? How can a party stand there and not push back against the sort of rhetoric that we're seeing coming out of Virginia right now? That makes absolutely no sense to me at all. Period. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Well, I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we're honored to have the Lieutenant Governor of Virginia joining us, Lieutenant Governor Winsome Earl Sears. Lieutenant Governor, I wish it was under better circumstances, but this is really horrifying what has been exposed in the Commonwealth.
Yeah, no, it's good circumstances because you ought to know who you are wanting to elect. And so the truth is always good. And the truth, as you know, is that we cannot have this man, Jay Jones, as the attorney general, the attorney, the top man in charge when it comes to enforcing our laws and prosecuting those in our Commonwealth and standing before the United States Supreme Court or our Supreme Court or anywhere else, engaging in activity that is lawful. This man has said that he wants to murder the children of his opponent. No, we cannot have him. He's a Democrat, and of course, all Democrats are rallying around him. This makes no sense. He cannot have that kind of power.
No, he can't. And then your opponent, Abigail Spanberger, refuses to even tell him to drop out of the race. So you're right. I mean, all of these Democrats are standing alongside of him. I believe the House Speaker was at a church really defiling the pulpit by dismissing and being dismissive of these insane, offensive, grotesque text messages.
Talk about who you let into the pulpit of God. I mean, here is Abigail Spanberger, my opponent, as you know, and, you know, she ought to say, Jay, you need to drop out. If nothing else, you drag him down the ticket. Because when you have murderous comments, when you say a man, his children ought to die, no, you can't have. But no, Abigail will never say that. Abigail, she just wants to win. She has an agenda, and her agenda is all about control, and this is part of it, you see. But we can't have this. I have seen this because, you know, I'm an immigrant to this great country. I was born in Jamaica, and I've seen what happens. And what I knew the word propaganda, for example, when I was 10 years old. I've seen this kind of socialism. I've seen this kind of government control. I should be riding a bike and skinning my knees at 10, worried about that, not knowing propaganda. I saw communism come. Cuba, Castro came over, and Russian money nationalized everything. You didn't own your business. The profits were not yours. If you owned a land, the government took it from you, gave it to others. I can't believe that this is possibly where we are headed in America. We cannot have that. Abigail is part of that, and of course, Jay Jones is too.
You know, the irony of this, Lieutenant Governor, this all came about the text messages because the Republican, Mr. Gilbert, had actually offered sympathetic thoughts and messages to a Democrat who had passed away. And this somehow set this guy off. And what gets me is he said that if he had two bullets, the bullets would go into Gilbert's head, not Hitler's or Pol Pot's, which the insinuation there, I guess, is Republicans in his mind are worse than Hitler.
You know, Todd, there are times I ask myself, do some of these Democrats just hate us that much? Is it really that the Democrats just hate Republicans like that? But then we have people on their side who are teaching their children to hate their very country. Where are we going from there? If you're telling the future, because that's what children are, they're our future. You're telling them, hate America because America is bad, America is this, America is that. Then what will happen to your country? You don't have to worry about the rogue nations of the world destroying us. No, no, they just watch us destroy ourselves. That's what happened with Rome.
It's shocking, and I know that you're a person of faith, as am I, and when you see that kind of language and the hate that's just come out of this party in the aftermath of Charlie Kirk's assassination, you really wonder if there is some sort of spiritual warfare, something demonic going on inside the Democrat Party right now.
Well, they call everybody a Nazi, which means that nobody is a Nazi. They call everybody a fascist, which means that no one is a fascist. They see racism around every single corner. And, you know, I recall where even Biden and Kamala Harris in 2021, they both said America was not a racist country and there was no systemic racism in America. That was in 21. I think the next year they promptly forgot what they said, and they're beholden to a certain group of people. And so here we are teaching our children once again that America is not worthy of anything. And yet you have the people, when Biden was in office, they were dying to cross the border. I mean, they were throwing their children over the border. Remember? They were telling us that you may not believe in America, but they believe in America. They believe in the goodness of America. So we cannot have, for example, him, Jay Jones, with the power of the office of the Attorney General, the power of that office. And we cannot have Abigail Spanberger, who is running as my opponent to be governor of our great Commonwealth. She cannot be there either, because what we know is this people get power and it's going to be all downhill for us. You know, they say more than everybody else. They love and they tolerate more than everybody else, unless you believe as they do. If you don't, you can forget about the diversity. You can forget about the equity. You can forget about that. That's what they do in these other countries. America cannot be that. So we cannot have Abigail Spanberger. And that's why I'm asking folks, go to the polls and vote for me. Vote for me so we can continue all the great successes that you've seen.
We've got to send a message here. And I know there's that Washington Post poll out over the weekend showing that Spanberger is leading by about 13 points. What is it going to take to move the needle for you, Lieutenant Governor? And would you accept President Trump's endorsement if he did that?
Of course I would. But let me tell you something. Don't believe those polls. I am not down that by 13. We are in margin of error. And so I don't know why the Washington Post does these kinds of things. It's because, of course, they have their finger on the scale for her. This is what they do. I've never been down by 13. And my own opponent has said that this is, what is she? She said it's a toss-up race. Don't believe it. We are going to win because we have common sense. We're going to keep your taxes low. My opponent already said she's going to raise your taxes. I'm going to make sure you're safe and secure. She's already said she's going to turn Virginia into a sanctuary state. I mean, we cannot have her. She's going to defund the police and get rid of their qualified immunity.
We've got it. It's all hands on deck, and we have got to get you in the governor's mansion. We got to make sure this guy doesn't step foot anywhere near the attorney general's office. I mean, this is a massively important race, I think, and it gives an opportunity for Republicans to send a message to the rest of the nation. I'll give you the final word.
That's right. And so what I'm saying is go to winsomesears.com. or winsomeforgovernor.com and donate. We need your help. We need the resources to stay on TV. We've got to get our volunteers out. We've got to get printed material. This doesn't happen by itself. It takes all of us. Get to the polls, go and vote. If you want to have your girl children undressing in front of men, that's what Abigail Spanberger has voted for. That's what she supports. And that's what's happening in some parts of Virginia. That will go throughout Virginia if she is governor, but she won't be because you have common sense and you don't want that for your girl children.
All right. Lieutenant Governor, best of luck to you out there. And you're taking a bold stand. And I know that a lot of people across the great Commonwealth appreciate that. Winsome Earl Sears, thank you again.
Thank you.
All right. Wow. This is insanity. And look, I know that there's a lot of stuff going on in the world of politics. I get that. But right now, we need to be focused on one thing, and that is stopping these godless, demonic Democrats from being elected. This is a very dangerous situation we're in right now as a country. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be having to have conversations with kids about whether or not they should be wearing MAGA hats in public or whether they should be talking about their politics in a public setting or even in a classroom. I mean, it's insane. We got to take a break here. A lot more to say about this and a crazy story coming out of Wisconsin involving a school district that is literally forcing children to declare their political allegiances. Unbelievable. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Thank you for joining us. So, yeah, let me share this story with you. It's insane. Again, talking about how dangerous it is for conservative kids out there. This is insanity. Dane County, Wisconsin, teachers there ordering students to publicly declare their political affiliations. This is nuts. So our good friends over at Libs of TikTok first exposed this story. There are at least two high schools. In one of the schools, the kids were instructed, this is at McFarland High School. Students there were told to stand up in class and not only declare their political allegiance, like, are you a Democrat? Are you a Republican? Are you a Libertarian? They also had to declare their positions on three major culture war issues. Now, they didn't say what those issues were, but you can pretty much guess it has something to do with the alphabet mafia. Then there was another school, this one in Middleton, Wisconsin, and the students had to write their names and political affiliations on those little post-it notes, and then they were forced to display those in a hallway. They had to, like, write their name and whether or not they were a Republican or a Democrat. Well, one girl, she was like, this is insanity. She told her history teacher that she was extremely uncomfortable because her classmates were scanning the names of kids who identified as Republican, and they were being called Nazis. And the thought process here for those of you, and look, we have the smartest audience in all of talk radio, so you guys know that the reason they use the term Nazi is because it dehumanizes a person and therefore makes it easier for you to physically attack or shoot or kill that person. And that's why they're calling all Republicans Nazis. So anyway, the teacher said, tough. I don't care. You have to live with your consequences. And the teacher ordered the girl to participate. One parent telling Moms for Liberty the schools are dividing the kids and making them feel uncomfortable. By the way, Moms for Liberty says that students should not be forced to out themselves politically. I completely agree with that. But again, this has nothing to do with education. This has everything to do with intimidation and indoctrination. Here's my question. Why? Why do the teachers want to know that information? And why do the teachers want to expose these kids? Could you imagine? Just think about this. Imagine there was a rainbow-colored, like, billboard, right, in the hallways. And the teacher said, okay, you have to declare if you're gay, straight, bi, what's the one where the pans, two-spirit, you've got to write your name and you have to declare whether or not you're an LGBT or one of the plus people. Could you imagine the blowback then? Come on. All right, we got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Changes in your vision can happen in the blink of an eye, but with the right plan, they can also be addressed just as quickly. That's why VSP Individual Vision Plans gives you same-day vision benefits to get your eyes back on track, fast. Go to VSPDirect.com today to start saving today.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. What an honor to have you with us. Thank you for joining us and choosing us to be your source of news, information, and conversation across this great nation. So I want to go back to Chicago, where over the weekend, ICE agents have come under fire. First of all, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem on Fox earlier today, and she said it's really bad. And the reason why the ICE agents are having to wear the masks is because of the Democrats. And here is Kristi Noem, cut number 11.
We had a really strange incident yesterday where we had a caravan of 10 different vehicles that were following our Border Patrol agents and officers that were out there on the streets of Chicago. And they had followed them and gotten them cornered, pinned them down. And then our agents, when getting out of their cars, they tried to run them over and had semi-automatic handguns on them to where our agents had to protect themselves, and shots were fired. And an individual ended up in the hospital that was attacking these officers. Very dangerous situation. And then in that situation as well, this individual had threatened them previously and had told them that they all needed to go down and shouted expletives at them. So our intelligence indicates that these people are organized. They're getting more and more people on their team as far as attacking officers, and they're making plans to ambush them and to kill them. We have specific officers and agents that have bounties that have been put out on their heads. It's been $2,000 to kidnap them, $10,000 to kill them. They've released their pictures. They've sent them between their networks, and it's an extremely dangerous situation and unprecedented. So we've put protective detail around those individuals, changed some of our operations to keep our officers safe. But make no mistake, this isn't just about, you know, protesting free speech or that they don't like that people out here are upholding the law of our country. They're actually going out there and saying, kill these people and we'll give you this much money to do it.
This is outrageous that this is going on. And it's not just in Chicago where this is happening. It's also happening in Portland, and where the National Guard is being dispatched. Also in Memphis, Tennessee, where local Democrat leaders are actually doxing the locations of the federal agents. There is a woman by the name of Regina Morrison Newman, and she is the Shelby County trustee, and she's out there literally sharing this information on her social media pages, and she's tagging a lot of these far-left activist groups out there. So this is happening, and it certainly seems to be a coordinated effort in at least three of the cities where federal agents are now actively involved in going after all of these people. Also in Chicago, Fox News reporting that officers in Chicago were given orders not to respond to any calls to help ICE agents. Cut number 8.
In Chicago, sources telling Fox News police there were told to actually stand down on helping ICE agents who are in danger. Mike Tobin has this story for us, all the details. Hi, Mike.
And Dana, we've got a lot of rank-and-file Chicago police officers behind the scenes telling us that they are outraged that the stand-down order went out to them after federal agents were attacked. The order appears to have come through a communication from the chief of patrol over the communication through the Office of Emergency Management and Communication. Reading, no units will respond to this. Multiple police sources have confirmed to us the message is authentic, and it is backed up by audio of the stand-down order.
And again, per the chief of patrol, we have all the units that per 999, chief of patrol said all units clear out from there. We're not sending anybody over to that location. All right, and 999, just to confirm, 39th Police in Kedzie, they were saying that they were being surrounded by that large crowd, and they were requesting the police were not sending. I'm waving off all the cars heading to 39th Police in Kedzie.
And those are the orders we're being given.
Wow, that's insane. Who in their right mind thought that was okay to do? This is just unacceptable, ladies and gentlemen, just simply unacceptable. And it seems to me, at the very least, that the command force at the Chicago PD should be immediately removed from office. Now, we have a lot of law enforcement that listen to this program, and I'm just curious, has there ever been a situation where you would not respond to a call for an officer in need of help? The idea that you would have these ICE agents and they are being targeted, they're being followed, I think the argument could be made that the ICE agents are actually being, they're being stalked, almost like they are prey. And you're telling me that as a law enforcement officer, that you would stand down and you would not offer assistance to any sort of an officer in need? That's insane to me. Just insane. Meanwhile, in Portland, you've got a judge there in Oregon who is blocking the president from sending in the National Guard to help the good people of Portland. Take a listen to Cut 10.
We're going to look at that. It was amazing. Portland is burning to the ground. It's insurrectionists all over the place. It's Antifa. And yet the politicians, who are petrified, look, the politicians are afraid for their lives. That's the only reason that they say, like, there's nothing happening. And you've seen it. The place is burning down, and they pretend like there's nothing happening. So we'll take a look at the order. We haven't seen the order yet.
Yeah, by the way, it is the president of the United States who is the commander-in-chief, not a judge in Oregon. Not sure who needs to hear that, but somebody needs to hear that. By the way, to his point about people being afraid, the politicians being afraid, there's a report out of D.C. The police are telling, and we're talking about their rank and file, all right? Police officers in Washington, D.C. are telling the Justice Department that their superiors, in other words, the command staff, were intentionally misclassifying crime statistics. Now, we've heard this play out all over the nation where they will tell you, oh, no, crime is really down in the blue cities. And yet, in reality, everybody who lives in one of those blue cities, they know what's up. They know the truth. The same thing happened in our city, in Memphis, where they say crime is at a historic low. Well, the reason why we suspect is because they were misclassifying many of those crimes. And that's what they were doing in Washington, D.C. Take a listen to Cut 9.
Washington Post is reporting that some police officers in Washington, D.C. told the Justice Department their superiors misclassified crimes to make reported statistics look less serious than they really were. Quote, some rank-and-file officers and detectives have complained for months, in some cases years, that managers were recording serious crimes as more minor ones to make their police districts appear safer or avoid the ire of top department brass. The Trump administration says it's investigating the city over whether crime statistics have been intentionally misreported.
Wow. I'm not surprised in the least. And I suspect those of you living in the large cities, you know exactly what I'm talking about here. 901-260-5926. Do you want the White House to play hardball? Is it time to send in the military and put down these rebellions in places like Portland, under the control of Antifa, or Chicago, where the mayor, Brandon Johnson, literally wants to have a do-over of the Civil War? What is that guy smoking? Unbelievable. No, in all seriousness, Brandon Johnson says he wants a rematch of the Civil War. So what side is he on? That's what I want to know. What side is that guy on? Dylan, I'm curious. I know the big music weekend here. You had a lot of concerts all over America. Zach Bryan, are you familiar with Zach Bryan, the country music artist?
I am familiar, yeah.
Are you a fan?
Not really. He's kind of a terrible person.
Aside from just being a horrible human being.
No, that kind of what drives me not to listen to him, unfortunately.
So he's got a new song coming out, and he issued a snippet, a tease of the song on his Instagram page. And the guy's got, almost 5 million followers. So he's got a lot of
He's very popular, yeah.
Yeah. He was he won a Grammy or something.
Yeah.
So anyway, the name of the song is called Bad News. And the song lyrics attack federal law enforcement officers. So this guy is like country, but he's really woke. Kind of like Dixie Chicks. So he says that ICE agents, according to the lyrics, ICE agents gonna bust down your door, scare your kids, He also said the red, white, and blue is fading. Now, what I found interesting about this, Dylan, he turned off the comments to this particular post.
Yeah, I bet.
Nobody's allowed
to smoke.
No. So John Rich had an idea, and he said, first of all, he said, you would be shocked at the number of liberals lurking in country music. I am not surprised. I wrote an entire chapter in my book on this. This was, I think, Culture Jihad, about how Dick, as a matter of fact, I think the chapter title was Dixie's Dawn Gun Woke.
Yeah, I mean, look at Nashville, right? Nashville's got a bunch of woke people there, and that includes musicians. So
it's really sad.
All the good country music artists are older, and they still make good music, but the new people coming up, I don't know.
Yeah, nowhere near Nashville.
No.
I'll tell you that much. So John Rich said the guy ought to team up with the Dixie Chicks and do a tour sponsored by Bud Light. John Rich is clever. But again, it's sad. Am I surprised by this? No, not at all. But, and look, he can have whatever political views he wants, but when you put it into your music and then people don't buy your music, well, you know, that's on you. Sorry. I mean, it is. Who is it? Cowboy Carter? Which one was that? Beyonce?
Yeah, Beyonce.
J-Lo? They all sound the same.
Beyonce tried to make a country album.
Oh, God. That's the state of the country music industry right there.
Unfortunately.
By the way, they opened up a Christian gospel hall of fame in Nashville over the weekend or something. I'm curious what that looks like.
Me too.
Anyway, I may have to go check it out. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. A country music industry infected by these woke West Coast music executives. That's the problem. And that's a lot of you folks wondering why Christian music doesn't sound very Christian anymore. It's because all the Christian labels, at least the large ones, are owned by these secular recording companies. So that's why everything sounds so blue. That's the reason why. So anyway, in this book, I retell the story of Governor Mike Huckabee invited to become a member of the Country Music Foundation. Their only job was to raise money to buy musical instruments for poor children. And one of the guys in charge happens to be a gay dude with a chip on his shoulder. And he was married to another dude and they bought a couple of kids. And he said that country music, there was no place in country music for Bible-believing, flag-waving, truck-driving patriots like Mike Huckabee. And if that's the case, what do you have left? If those people, if that demographic is not welcome in the country music world, what do you have left? I mean, that's insanity. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. What's your take on Zach Bryan and country music, ladies and gentlemen? We'll be right back. All right, how about Steak and Shake? We've got the story up at toddstearns.com, and you got to go check out the photo of this massive American flag. So here's the deal. Steak and Shake has just announced, and they did this over the weekend, they're going to be erecting giant American flags outside of every single restaurant. The caveat is the flags have to be approved by local governments, which is insane, right? But, you know, you've got Camping World, our good buddy Marcos Lemonis out there trying to do the same thing at his Camping Worlds, and you've got these towns that are pushing back saying, oh, the flag is too big. You can't have a giant American flag. It's distasteful. Well, I would disagree with that. But Steak and Shake says that the flag installations have begun. Every Steak and Shake is getting the tallest and biggest American flag that local governments will allow. Steak and Shake proudly supports American values and traditions. I love this. By the way, they also announced they're going to be doing their fries in beef tallow, which is a nod to RFK Jr. And, of course, they put out a beautiful statement and erected billboards honoring Charlie Kirk in the aftermath of the assassination. Good people there. Good people. Hey, let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Murph in Germantown, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Murph. What's going on?
Dr. Starnes, always a pleasure. Not 100% familiar with our boy Zach Bryan and his new song, But contrary to his belief, the red, white, and blue is obviously not fading at all. If Steak and Shake is, if what Steak and Shake is doing, and you know, he's fussing and moaning about the police knocking down doors and the National Guard knocking down doors or whomever, ICE. You know, those people are there to protect private property from illegal immigrants. Now, I can't quote 100% Alexander Hamilton, but he challenged Thomas Jefferson on this issue years ago, and he basically said to allow immigrants into the nation without any reservations is, quote, end quote, like putting the Grecian horse within our sovereignty. That's Alexander Hamilton in 1782. And he could, no one that I've heard recently, or you've probably heard, could have put it any better. So keep up the good work and maintain.
Well, I appreciate that, Murph. And again, it just seems like common sense to me. When, you know, you've given the choice, do you take care of the American citizens first, the American people, or the illegals? It just seems to me the American people are always and should be the default setting.
Correct. Take care.
All right. Our good friend, Professor Murph from Germantown, Tennessee. You know, it's interesting because, you know, he mentioned Alexander Hamilton, who himself was an immigrant, and he opposed the open immigration policies of Thomas Jefferson, as Murph so eloquently stated. So it's a great point there. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, we were talking about Charlie Kirk, and our good buddy Pastor Lucas Miles has a new book out. This was the last thing that Charlie had written before he was killed. And Pastor Miles, a good friend of Charlie, said, would you consider writing the foreword to my new book? And Charlie said, absolutely. And now, as we know, it became the last published work of Charlie. Now, the book is called Pagan Threat. And Charlie, in his foreword, said, you must read, internalize, and share this book. It has the plan to stop the wokeism infecting America. And the book is doing incredibly well, already a number one Amazon bestseller. And it's available wherever you buy your books. So get Pagan Threat free, by the way, with a special offer from our friends at Newsmax. And you're going to save $30. Go online right now to PaganThreat.com. That's PaganThreat.com. Millions, by the way, now turning into Newsmax on all major cable systems. And they're downloading our free Newsmax app on their smartphones. So get PaganThreat.com. That's PaganThreat.com. And you'll be able to read Charlie Kirk's final words. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. Coming up, a major, major development in a closely watched congressional race. We're going to check in with our good buddy Steve Gill. A little bit later on, we're going to be talking to the chief auditor of the great state of North Carolina. He's got some new intel on that horrible train murder of the Ukrainian refugee. Stick around, everybody. We'll be right back. You know, it doesn't feel like a Monday. It ought to feel like a Monday, but it doesn't feel like a Monday. It was just one of those super busy weekends and a lot of great college football action. Who was it? Dylan, it happened again. What's going on with professional football these days? Was it the Cardinals? The Cardinals and the Titans. And the guy drops the ball. He's running in for a touchdown, drops the ball right before he crosses into the end zone.
It's got to be one of the dumbest things that keeps happening. Why do they keep doing that?
What are they trying to do? Like, show I'm cool or something?
I guess. It's like, I made it. I'm in the end zone.
You dropped the ball.
It's a fumble. Now it's a touchback. Congratulations.
Wow. And picked it up and ran all the way back for a touchdown. I think that's the only reason the Titans won that game.
Yeah. They needed that win, too.
Man, how bad?
It's just
terrible.
That's a fine right there.
I just don't get it. It's like the level of play within the professional football, it just sucks right now.
Yeah, It's not as exciting as college football.
You know what? I think because they pay them so much money that they just don't care.
Yeah.
Right?
Which should be the opposite, right?
There's no financial incentive to get out there and put it all on the line for your team.
Yeah.
And let me say something. The NILs are gonna, that will eventually cause the demise of college football.
Mm. There you go. It's looking into the future here.
How soon before they do high school NILs?
Please no.
You know it's gonna happen.
I mean, some of these private schools, you know, they're recruiting. So it's happening. Just the money involved, I don't know.
Fair enough. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, 901-260-5926. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and our good buddy Steve Gill joins us. Steve, do you have any answers? We're going to talk politics here in a minute. But, man, what is going on with professional football? It just really sucks.
Well, first of all, the NFL is performing at a quality level that we're seeing among referees in the Southeastern Conference. Both are totally pathetic. The talent level of college football, particularly in the Southeastern Conference today, is so far superior than the quality of the referees who are blowing calls left and right. And they aren't always one-sided, but they are always apparent when you go to the tape, Jimmy, and see what kind of mistakes they're making. And you mentioned NIL in high school. There is a high school quarterback here in Nashville who's getting $30,000 a month now. He makes more than his parents. He's one of the number one recruits in the entire country. I think he is headed to Georgia, but he's making 30 grand a month in high school.
30 grand in high school?
Yep.
Oh, man. By the way, you're not kidding about that. Did you catch the Vikings? They kicked a field goal, and apparently the ball hit the camera wire, and the refs didn't even see it.
Well, and then you were talking about the Titans. Yeah, I don't care if they're good between now and Christmas, whether they can make Santa's good list rather than bad list. They're not getting anything at Christmas because they got the gift from the Cardinals yesterday when the running back literally drops the ball as he's entering with what it would have been the insurmountable score. And instead of scoring, the Titans march down the field and score and then get a chance to win on a last-second field goal. So they got their Christmas gift yesterday from the Cardinals.
Steve, switching to politics here, this special election, so Congressman Mark Green, who is embroiled in scandal, cheating on his wife, but he decides that he's going to step down from Congress, and now it's a free-for-all, and President Trump came in over the weekend, and now we know endorsed. Is it fair to call the guy a rhino?
Well, that might be an insult to rhinos everywhere. He is the guy that led Governor Bill Lee's efforts to close churches, close schools. He's been dubbed Tennessee's Fauci for his role in leading the COVID response for Tennessee, and has been endorsed and embraced and millions of dollars by anti-Trump billionaires have been supporting his campaign because they see him as less than a threat in Congress than an actual conservative. So, yeah, I think that's fair. And here's a little breaking news for you, Todd. Today, around 5:30 Central Time, President Trump is doing a teletown hall for Matt Van Epp, as they are desperately trying to get past the finish line tomorrow with the last day of voting in the primary. The general election will be December 2nd. President Trump doing a telephone town hall for Matt Van Epp later today.
So the primary is tomorrow, and I understand you've got a lot of people running in this race.
Yeah, 11 candidates. A couple of them have now dropped out since President Trump late Friday endorsed Matt Van Epp. Now, Van Epp has been endorsed by Jim Jordan, who helped found the House Freedom Caucus. But the House Freedom Caucus has been supporting a conservative state representative, Jody Barrett, and they've put money behind Jody, been pushing him. Meanwhile, you've got a couple of anti-Trump billionaires who've poured over $1 million into attacking Barrett and supporting Matt Van Epp. The Club for Growth has weighed in and been attacking Jody Barrett on behalf of other candidates. So it's been a free-for-all. And now you've got the final 24 hours. Early voting has been extremely low. 18,000 total votes cast in early voting in the Republican primary, and a cautionary tale, over 17,000 cast by the Democrats in their primary. There are four of their candidates running, and And this is a plus 11 or plus 12 Republican district. So those early voting numbers should terrify Republicans. And I think tomorrow we may only see 10,000, maybe 12,000 additional votes, pushing the total Republican primary vote to about 30 to 32,000. I mean, anybody could win with 7 or 8,000 votes.
And the shocking thing here is that district went 20 points for Trump and Blackburn in the last election. So it shouldn't be, it should not be this close. And it's going to be hard, you know, when you look at factor in what's happening in Virginia right now with that. I mean, well, you had Winsome Sears on just a few moments ago saying it was close, but she's losing by 13 points on the latest Washington Post poll. There could be a narrative here that Republicans are in a tough spot. I mean, that's whether or not that's the reality or not, you know, there are certainly other factors at play, but I don't know. I don't know, Steve.
Well, and this has been a quick sprint special election because, as you mentioned, Mark Green resigned earlier this year. The governor set these timetables. Right now, 9 out of the 14 counties in this district, so you've got part of Nashville, part of Williamson County, which is one of the wealthier Republican counties in the state, but most of this district is very rural, and as you point out, very pro-Trump. And yet, with a bitterly divisive Republican primary, the likelihood that whoever wins can't bring people back together between now and December 2nd, another quick sprint to the general election. And there are a lot of conservatives that are saying if Van Epps wins, they'll stay home. Many of these moderates and rhinos are saying if Jody Barrett wins, they'll stay home. That will elect a Democrat. Now, there's one state representative running here in Tennessee, Afton Benn, who has declared and embraced the idea of being the AOC of Tennessee. She is a very liberal, progressive. If she's the Democrats' nominee, which I think she will be, she is very beatable. But there's another guy that is more moderate appearing. Again, he'll go to Washington and vote down the line with the Democrats, but he at least appears more moderate, doesn't have a track record to attack, and has already raised over $400,000 or $500,000 in this race. He would be difficult to beat if we come out of a very bitter and contested primary and don't reunite between now and December 2nd with whoever emerges. By the way, early voting for the December 2nd general election falls over Thanksgiving week. So you're going to have another low turnout that Democrats nationally, like sharks, may smell blood in the water.
So the Democrats could, I mean, they theoretically could come out with an upset victory here because right now there's only one Democrat in the entire congressional delegation in Tennessee. And again, that really hurts the efforts of the Republicans to move legislation through the House of Representatives.
And again, we've only got a 2 or 3 seat majority in the House with Republicans as it is. And one of the reasons that you've seen Jim Jordan and some of the establishment Republicans prefer Matt Van Epps, they think he's going to be more compliant. He's going to be more willing to take orders. He's a former military guy, so he'll do what he's told. Jody Barrett has been a thorn in the side of the Republican House leadership in Tennessee because he's a real conservative and balks at some of their more moderate or big spending methods in Tennessee. So he has been a thorn in their side, and I think Jim Jordan and the Speaker Johnson don't want that in Washington. But at the same time, there are some conservatives that are saying if Jody gets beat because of Trump and all these billionaires out of state dumping money on him, that in August you have another Republican primary. And in a one-on-one race against Matt Van Epps, a conservative, not seeing the votes divided among 11 candidates, could beat him and take it back. Or if the Democrats win, hey, we'll just take it back in November. Easier said than done. Once they get a hold of the seat, it's hard to beat an incumbent.
No, it is. You're right about that. All right, Steve Gill, publisher of TriStar Daily on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. You know, Steve, we've also been following the developments of the National Guard, nearly 300 arrests in Memphis. That's Pam Bondi announcing that. This is just really remarkable. I want you to hear what a local Democrat leader had to say about Stephen Miller from the White House. The voice you're about to hear is Tammy Sawyer, cut number 3.
Stephen Miller got his start as a congressional aide to the segregationist Jeff Sessions, and then ends up writing white supremacist policies for Donald Trump, and he's now the White House Deputy Chief of Staff. If you all don't believe that this man being able to stand in the middle of Memphis, Tennessee, and threaten us is nothing to do with race, y'all are sleeping. They are literally declaring war on black people in the blackest city in Tennessee and the blackest city in this country. Look between the lines. White supremacists are trying to take our city, and they're trying to punish us for one thing, and that's being black.
Is that true, Steve Gill?
Well, first of all, Jeff Sessions was not a white supremacist, nor is Miller. And what President Trump and his team, including Stephen Miller, are trying to do is to save black people in Memphis. It isn't white folks from the suburbs going in and shooting, killing, robbing, raping, and stealing cars in downtown Memphis. It's black-on-black crime, black-on-black rape, black-on-black murder. And yet you have these black leaders that are still trying to declare Memphis is safe, Memphis is fine. And the ones that are the biggest victims of black crime in Memphis are black people. And again, President Trump and his team are led by Pam Bondi are trying to basically save Memphis. And I do find it interesting that while they're arresting all these criminals and gangbangers and confiscating all these illegal guns, we haven't heard as much about the number of illegal immigrants in Memphis that ICE is rounding up. And I'm anxious to see how many of the illegals are being rounded up in these suites, in addition to the homegrown criminals that have been plaguing Memphis for decades under black Memphis Democrat leadership. And the residents of Memphis, you live there, know they are seeing safety and security coming. It's only the liberal whack jobs like this woman who are protesting against it, the same way we saw protests against the enforcement of crime in Washington, D.C., and we've seen it rendered safer, the same way we're going to see the same thing in Memphis.
All right. Steve Gill, we're going to leave it there, my friend. TriStarDaily.com is the website, TriStarDaily.com. Get your political fix over there every single day. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thanks, Todd.
All right. Best Halloween shirt I have seen. Buddy sent this over. It's a blank T-shirt with the words, "I was going to be a liberal for Halloween, but my head won't fit up my butt." 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Dinesh D'Souza is on the warpath. D'Souza taking issue with Tucker Carlson, and he's accusing Tucker of trying to rip MAGA apart. Look, there is no doubt there is a lot of bad blood within the these conservative influencers and this conservative influencer crowd. And here's my take on this, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts. It just seems to me that there is a cool kids table within the conservative influencer movement, and I am very proud to say I am not at that table and have no intention of being at that table. But I would say there are a lot of folks there. For example, Tucker would be there, Candace Owens, Megyn Kelly, a lot of these folks. I would say Ben Shapiro would be there as well. And they may or may not be overly influencing the thought process of a lot of conservatives. Here on this program, we encourage you to think for yourself. You may not agree with what I have to say, but at least you know where I'm standing on the issues. One of those, in fact, being Israel. But right now, there, and I don't know if Tucker's being paid or not by, you know, Qatar or any other Middle Eastern country. I don't know. I don't have access to his bank accounts, and really, that's none of my business. I know a lot of people are getting upset because some of the dollar amounts are coming out that some of these conservative influencers are being paid to speak at various and sundry events, many of them religious events, by the way, and the price tag can be anywhere from $25,000 all the way up to $50,000 for like a 20-minute canned speech. We don't do that. As a matter of fact, I have a policy. We do not charge churches. If a church invites me to come and speak at an event, if they cover, they got to cover my travel and lodging, but I don't charge a fee. Don't do that. If they want to pay something, great. We will gladly accept it. but I don't want to ever be in a position where we have to tell a church, oh, that's, you know, $25,000 to have Todd Stearns come. We don't do that here. And I'm not begrudging anybody who does, but it does make you wonder. Anyway, D'Souza says that Tucker is deliberately trying to rip MAGA apart. D'Souza saying that the problem with Tucker is not that he's bad for Israel. He's bad for Trump and MAGA. He's trying to rip MAGA apart ideologically and generationally. I don't know his motives, but who can be blind to the efforts of his actions? And who benefits? The left, the Islamic jihadists. And this is a good point that Dinesh raises. What's going on here? Why all of a sudden are we watching this really vicious anti-Israel mentality develop within the conservative world? And I'm telling you, the younger you are in the conservative movement, the less likely you are to be a supporter of Israel. And that does make me wonder, you know, again, the influence of organizations like Turning Point USA. What was the relationship there at the end? What was going on there? But it's getting ugly out there, folks, and all of this will divide the movement. We're watching this play out. That's why I wanted Steve Gill to come on. This idea that that President Trump came and endorsed the anti-Trump candidate only because Jody Barrett's a guy who thinks for himself. They're afraid that Jody Barrett was going to be the next MTG or someone like that. And they want people they can control. That's what's going on there. So I don't know who has Trump's ear on a lot of these local races, these statewide races, but it's a big problem. And I'm not sure they've got President Trump's best interest at heart. I really don't. So anyway, Dinesh, and we'll get into more of this in the next hour. Dinesh says, I don't want Tucker excommunicated. I'm just curious here. What happened? And that's a fair point. Do you believe, ladies and gentlemen, there is an intentional effort underway to rip apart the MAGA movement? 901-260-5926. Do we throw Israel under the bus? 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, I've got to play this audio. This is from Caroline Leavitt just a few moments ago during the White House press briefing. And you had Caitlin Collins over at CNN. She's the one with the big eyebrows. Anyway, Caitlin Collins is over there saying, there's no violence in Portland. It's one of the most peaceful cities in America. Take a listen.
I would encourage you as a reporter to go on the ground and to take a look at for yourself, because there's been many members of the press, not press in this room, but independent journalists, some of whom we'll be inviting to the White House very soon to share their stories, because they have been in the middle of these riots and they have witnessed the anarchy that is taking place night after night. It's on video. You should play it on your show. You have a great opportunity in prime time on CNN to show your audience. Yeah, but you're probably talking to partisan Democrat officials who are opposed to everything this president does. You should also ask the people who live in Portland. We've actually heard from many members of the community who have said that this is complete civil disobedience. It's a mess. It's been loud. It's been troubling for neighbors in the community who are just trying to live peacefully. And these people are not there to peacefully protest. They are there to cause mayhem and havoc.
Good for you, Caroline Leavitt. Don't take any guff from them at all. This is the same network, by the way, when they were burning down Minneapolis during the George Floyd fentanyl riots. This is the same network that literally had a reporter standing up there, flames 30, 40 feet in the air. And the reporter was saying, this is a mostly peaceful protest. You can't make this stuff up. Anyway, well, look, one of the stories that has not just gone to the back burner, I mean, nobody's even talking about this anymore, is the poor Ukrainian girl, the refugee, murdered on a train in Charlotte, North Carolina. Irina Zarutska, 23 years old. Nobody's talking about this story anymore. as if it's just gone away. It's just disappeared. I mean, meanwhile, Charlotte is now has become one of the deadliest cities in America. You've got the Fraternal Order of Police urging President Trump to send in the National Guard there. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we're honored to have the state auditor for North Carolina, Dave Bolick, joining us. And Dave, I know you and I met at an event that I spoke at over, gosh, a couple of weeks ago. Good to have you with us on the radio show today.
Todd, it's good to be with you, and I appreciate you having me on. And it was really an honor to get to meet you a couple of weeks ago in Western North Carolina.
Now, I think before we set up this conversation, because I know somebody's already asking, why is an auditor weighing in on this story? Well, in North Carolina, this position that you currently hold is a very powerful position within the state.
It is. And in fact, not the least of which reason is, Todd, I am currently the highest ranking executive who is a Republican elected statewide in North Carolina. So I feel an obligation to conservatives across the state of North Carolina to hold government accountable. But the auditor's office itself has a lot of authority. And one of the things that we've done since January 1st being sworn in is to move that office to where it affects everyday North Carolinians, not just this sort of fixing agencies or helping agencies with their finances, but using the power of audit and investigation, which we do have the power to investigate, to really move the needle for everyday North Carolinians. And this, the work we're doing in Charlotte on the Charlotte area transit system is a perfect example of that.
And let's talk about that because you are actually auditing the mayor's office as well as the safety protocols that they had in place. So what are you guys looking for and what have you found so far?
Yeah, so what Charlotte did is with their Charlotte transit system, which is a series of trams and buses, instead of assigning the Charlotte Metro Police or creating a police force for the transportation system, they contracted with private security, which is not necessarily a bad idea, but they contracted with a private security agency to provide security. In 2018, the budget was $5.9 million a year, and it provided up to 88 armed guards to patrol and protect citizens using the transit system. In 2022, post George Floyd, there was a policy change by the political leadership elected in Charlotte to move to a little north of 30 armed guards and 180 unarmed personnel, with a new budget of $18.4 million. Interestingly enough, that contract was also the one that was issued in 22 was a full DEI set-aside contract, Todd. And so it really is striking what is happening in the city of Charlotte. The reason we have already and gone ahead before we finished with our full audit, released these preliminary numbers, is because we feel like the people of Charlotte deserve some answers, because none of this information has been made public until we made it public last week.
So basically, they're giving lip service to public safety is what it sounds like.
Well, that's what it appears. It appears to be for sure there was a public policy change away from providing armed security to more unarmed personnel. Additionally, it wasn't, but until 4 weeks ago or so, that the armed and unarmed combination there, security force for the Charlotte area transit system, even had authority to patrol or do security on the platforms. And that just doesn't make common sense. I mean, if you're going to employ somebody to provide security, to be sure they should have authority on the platforms. But that wasn't the case until just a couple of weeks ago.
This is insanity. And again, on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, we have Dave Bolick with us. He is the North Carolina State Auditor. You know, Dave, when you look at, you know, the gathering we were at, and clearly there is a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of passion on the conservative side of the aisle right now. How do you see that playing when it comes to stories like this one that we saw happen in Charlotte on the train?
Well, I think there is an uprising and movement of just everyday North Carolinians like Caroline Leavitt was talking about, everyday folks in Portland, everyday folks in the city of Charlotte who want to be able to get on their public transit system and feel like their government has their back with respect to providing security. That's what they pay their taxes for. And you have a situation I just described where we went from 5.9 million a year to 18.4 million, providing less armed security. That's triple the budget for half the effectiveness. And I think average North Carolinians who really just want to raise their families, be productive citizens, they expect government to work on their behalf to provide them basic security. And by gosh, as the state auditor of the state of North Carolina, I'm committed to making sure that type of thing happens.
Mm. All right. Again, Dave, where can people go if they need to, or they want to report information, they need to get information? What's a good number for them to reach out to?
Well, what I want is probably easier to go to the Google machine and just put in North Carolina Auditor and go to our website at auditor.nc.gov, and we've got submission forms. I want to shout out to your listeners in Hendersonville, North Carolina, that are listening here in North Carolina to your show, Todd. They're very strong-willed people and resilient in the face of a year ago Hurricane Helene. And so I want to shout out to those folks in Hendersonville for their strength as North Carolinians.
Our good friends, WHKP, and it sounds like, Dave, I mean, basically, you're the North Carolina Doge team. You head up the Doge team in North Carolina.
Well, we do that, too. Our legislature just passed something called the DAVE Act, the Division of Accountability, Value, and Efficiency, in our Office of the State Auditor, and we've been tasked, we've been given additional resources and tasked with going across state government in North Carolina and finding efficiencies, asking questions like that Elon Musk asked, for example, what do you do for the state of North Carolina? What is your job? What are you producing? What is the ROI the taxpayers are getting for these positions? And taking a look at exactly what we need in a modern state government to be effective on behalf of citizens. So we're really excited about the work ahead on that project.
All right. Well, Dave, we're going to leave it there. Certainly appreciate you coming on, and thanks for the update on what's happening there in North Carolina.
Todd, I'm a dog with a bone, like I like to say, and I'm not going to let go until we get some resolution.
I like to hear that, and I know our listeners in WHKP country will appreciate that as well. Dave Bolick, ladies and gentlemen, your North Carolina State Auditor. Oh, there you go. Good guy. We had a great conversation. I said, dude, you got to come on the radio show. And he was kind enough to reach back out, and he gave all you good people there in Hendersonville, North Carolina, a nice shout-out. How about that? WHKP, our terrific affiliate there. All right, we're going to open up the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. You know, you do have a lot of choices when it comes to cell phone service. No doubt about that. I mean, new companies are popping up just about every day. But here's the truth. There's only one that actually stands in the gap for every American and that believes freedom is worth fighting for, and that's Patriot Mobile. And the good news is you can switch to Patriot Mobile today without sacrificing quality or service. Are you worried about your coverage? Well, don't be, because Patriot Mobile uses all three major U.S. networks. And if you have service in the country today, you're going to have as good or better with Patriot Mobile. Are you thinking about switching being a hassle? Well, it's not. You get to keep your number, you keep your phone, you can even upgrade if you'd like. Patriot Mobile's 100% U.S.-based customer service team will get you activated in just minutes from the comfort of your home. Are you stuck in a contract or you owe money on your phones? Well, no worries, because Patriot Mobile has a contract buyout program. And that's how we win, folks, by aligning our spending with our values. Every single dollar we spend matters. So go to PatriotMobile.com/Todd right now or call 972-PATRIOT. Use promo code Todd, and you're going to get a free month of service. I mean, that's a pretty great deal, right? Switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Call 972-PATRIOT, and be sure to use promo code Todd. Oh, Bad Bunny was on SNL over the weekend. He's the guy from Puerto Rico, the dude in the dress. Kind of weird. Gotta tell you, just a little weird. So anyway, Bad Bunny is the Super Bowl halftime performer. We covered all of this last week, and he delivered a message to everybody because he plans on performing the entire halftime show in Spanish, not English. And he told all of you people to basically get over it, to deal with it. And he said, you've got exactly 4 months to learn how to speak Spanish. I'm not interested. I'm really not. But I am wondering, is that enough for you to turn off the Super Bowl? I don't think it is. I'm just going to say, I think people will probably not watch the Super Bowl halftime show, but I don't think it's going to stop them watching the game, which is why the NFL is doing this. So the NFL, at its heart, is still trying to shove an agenda, shove a message down your throat, right? That's what this is all about. This guy hates Donald Trump. He hates ICE. Oh, by the way, ICE says they're going to have a full contingent of agents on hand at the Super Bowl. I think it's a great idea, brilliant idea. So anyway, Bad Bunny seems to be doubling down here, and he's mocking all of you people now. And I don't know why in the world the NFL continues to do this, because they know it's a losing proposition, and they know who the base of their fan support is. They know the fan base. But it doesn't matter to the NFL, and it doesn't matter because they know that ultimately people are going to still watch the games. No matter how bad the teams may suck, they're still going to watch the games. I mean, that's just it. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So a lot of concern in Nashville, which has become a big party town, and especially for the brides and the bridesmaids. They all love going to Nashville. Dylan, I don't know if you've been down there, but it's kind of scary watching all those drunk women on the bicycles.
And they're all dressed up in like some sort of theme.
Oh, that's true.
Like they dress up as old men, or they dress up as like the grooms. There's a lot of themes.
These are angry. Scary. They're angry drunk women.
Yeah, they tend to be angry.
Some of them are jilted, so they've got that going on.
Yes.
So anyway, one of them, I don't know who this woman is. She was down there, and she noticed, oh, wait a second, there are a lot of Muslims here. And you know, it's interesting because during the Obama administration, they relocated thousands of Muslims to the Nashville area. And I want you to listen to this woman describing Lower Broadway, full of the honky-tonks, full of all of the houses of ill repute for the Muslims. Here's what she had to say.
We were on the strip in Broadway, and there was vehicles going up and down Broadway, and they had flags, Islamic flags, and they were all dressed in the black with the red thing. And they were all yelling in like a different language that we didn't understand. And it was so unnerving. It was so unnerving. And everybody didn't even like bring attention to it. Everybody was just watching. And me and like my whole crew were like, what is going on? But everybody just ignored them. I think everybody was drunk. Okay. I think everybody was drunk. But everybody's just watching these people. They're going up and down. They're honking their horns. They got this flag outside. And, it was really weird. Like, I don't know. But we were just talking about it again. I'm like, it was just so unnerving. And, like, they keep doing it. And nobody's bringing any attention to it. Everybody's just like, whatever. But I'm over here like, how weird is that? They're just going, driving around, yelling chants, and have their Islamic flag.
I'd be curious to know, what exactly were they chanting, ma'am? Did the phrase Allah Akbar, was that uttered on Lower Broadway? Look, I don't know who these people were, whether or not they were just driving up and down, you know, doing a trial run for jihad. I don't know. But I can tell you this, that when you look at what's happening in Texas right now, where, man, Texas is being completely overrun by Muslims. You've got the Middle Tennessee area that's being impacted. You've got the calls to prayer going out at the crack of dawn up in Dearborn, Michigan right now. That entire area, along with Minneapolis and St. Paul, all being overrun by Muslim populations. Let me explain something to you. The day the Muslims get control, and they will, because they're birthing babies like they're out the wazoo. So whenever that happens, that will be the end of the honky-tonking in Nashville. There will be no booze because it will be outlawed. Now, some of you may be dismissive of all of this and say, well, you know what, it's a free country and people can practice their faith. That's true, but they don't want to practice. They want to conquer. And there's a big difference. And that's why we're seeing these kinds of things happening. It's an intimidation factor is what it is. But everywhere the Muslims attack, every country they invade, they end up taking over. And it's always bad news for the original inhabitants. Just want to point that out there. So not looking good. All you gay folks, you better get ready. It's not going to be good. All you folks that like your apple teenies, those are going away too. They'll be able to drink apple juice. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. The NAACP is warning residents in cities where the National Guard is present about some very important things. And this is for all you folks in Chicago and Portland. Let's take a listen to the NAACP. Cut four.
To be aware of as we are in this space right now. As far as identification of records, everyone needs to renew their driver's license, tags, and insurance. Get a passport, probate court clerk Eddie Jones, 140 Adams. Keep birth certificates and Social Security cards in a safe place. Keep copies of lease, bills, or pay stubs for proof of residency and employment. Check for any outstanding warrant. If you got an outstanding warrant, you need to clear it up. Pay any fines, tickets, or court costs. Stay current on child support obligations. Yes, child support too.
Okay. In other words, the NAACP wants you to do adulting in real time, as if there was ever a moment where it was okay not to have a driver's license or that it was okay not to have insurance. Are these people insane? Do they also need to tell their constituents they should consider, I don't know, brushing their teeth, tipping their waiter, wiping their buttocks after they poop? Is that, I mean, at what point? I mean, are you kidding me? This is insanity. But this is where we are in America, ladies and gentlemen. And what the NAACP is admitting is that there is lawlessness in this country. All right, let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Frank, listening to us in Ocala, Florida. Hi, Frank. What's on your mind today?
Hi. I was just listening to what you were talking about the, you know, people having, you know, fake IDs and stuff like that. It's funny that you say that, Todd, because I do know that that is a huge problem here. You know, the problem with having a valid ID is we're not able to identify individuals. So, you know, if they commit a crime, now how are we supposed to identify the individual if they don't have an ID? You know, we've became a lawless society, and we need to fix that. So I like what you were talking about, Todd.
Well, Frank, you know, it's just really common sense. But the reality is that in a lot of these cities, they have, you know, they've defunded the police. They're not giving the police the resources they need. And then to turn around, and what I love about this is they're telling people, make sure you have a form of identification. I thought that was the whole point of the voter fraud issue, is that people don't have a way to get a vote, an identification.
Right. I mean, you know, we have to have some form of identification in here in America, because if we are not keeping track of individuals, then we're just living life like a mess. And when you have life like a mess, that creates a lot of unnecessary chaos, and that doesn't ensure that our communities are safe.
Well, it's a fair look. That is a fair argument. That's a fair point, Frank. I'm curious. I know you were talking to our call screeners, and you're a younger guy, and you're involved in the conservative movement.
Yes, I am, sir. I am. I'm 28 years old, and I'm a Christian myself too. And I tuned into a lot of Charlie Kirk's debates, and I was really inspired by this individual because it's very good to have good leadership, and that's what we need here in America. We need real strong men, and we need real strong women. We need to build our families up to be not only successful but strong, wisdom-minded people. That's what we need. The more we have that, the more successful this country will be. And people need to wake up and they need to understand that this is what we need. This needs to be established.
Frank, I'm curious, in your circle of friends, are you guys still having those conversations, or is Charlie's death, his assassination, is that sort of old news now and folks are just looking for the next thing?
Oh, no. If anything, Todd, it's woken us up even more. You know, we have to stand up and we have to deliver what he wanted, because what he wanted is something substantially very good for us and our youth. If we want to have a good, path in our life, we have to have good traits. We have to have good values, because it's good to be kind to people. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I don't disagree there at all. Yeah, I think that's a fine
exactly.
thing. Yeah.
Exactly. It's a fine thing. And people sometimes miss that. I had a customer today, because I serve tables, and he was disabled, and, a lot of people made fun of him. And I just had a kind conversation with him, and I let him know, hey, I was bullied when I was a kid, but now look at me now. And it's just being kind to people is what people need, and those Christian values bring that. And that's something Charlie Kirk was trying to introduce to a lot of people, and people didn't really like to hear that. You see, a lot of people really don't like to hear strong wisdom anymore. It's like we've been immune to wanting to hear ignorance, and we can't have that. We just cannot have that. So no, those conversations are not those conversations are still here. I have those conversations with my youth, with people that I'm friends with. There's some people that I've lost friendships with because of me standing up for Charlie Kirk, and that's okay. That's fine. I'm here to stand up for something good. I'm here to live my life with a purpose.
Well, good for you, Frank. And I like the way you think. You're going to have to give us a call back one of these days and weigh in on the big issues of the day. You keep fighting the good fight down there in Florida, my friend.
Thank you so much, Todd. I really appreciate you. Thanks for taking my call, and it was a pleasure connecting with you.
All right. There you go. Frank from Ocala, Florida, one of our younger listeners. I like that. By the way, what happened to old Connor from Boston? We haven't heard from Connor from Boston in a long time. So, Connor, if you're out there, give us a call. Let us make sure you're doing all right. All right, there you go. I love that. And I think that's when you look at where we're going as a country right now, that's what it's going to take, is people getting involved. I was talking to a group of high school kids last week about Turning Point USA. They had about 60 kids show up, 6:30 in the morning. That's the kind of commitment that's going to change America. I truly believe it. Hey, I want to play some audio here, and we don't mean to be Memphis-centric, but we got the National Guard here, we got all the federal agencies, and man, there's some great stuff happening. And I do think it's a God thing. It's also a Trump thing, because Trump sent the National Guard in, and I want you to hear from, it's important for you to understand that the locals are so excited about what's going down here in the 901. Cut one.
Just got back from Memphis. When I tell you, Memphis is a totally different place right now, for real. I did not know that President Trump was sending them guys down there. And when I say, it's police everywhere. For real, though. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I ain't never seen Memphis like this before. Because I go down there and drop off a load at the hospital. You see your normal scragglies, whatever. Hospital, I don't know why hospital's always a place where they won't hang out at, but it is what it is. But traffic was different. Police is on every corner. I'm like, yo, I'm thinking that they was going to send them guys to Chicago. I know. I don't go to Chicago, so I wouldn't know that anyway. But boy, Memphis. Boy, I know they people's like, yes, crime has slowed down. I mean, it looks like a totally different city right now. The vibes are different. I don't know. I guess it's just me, man. But Memphis changing for the good, y'all. As they should. The people need that, though. The people need to stop all this riffraff and all this craziness these young kids got going on, man. Scared to leave your house, scared to go to the grocery store, scared to go to the gas station. One time, I wouldn't even go to a certain gas station if I see too many of them out there. For real, I keep it pushing. I wouldn't give a damn if I'm about to run out of gas. I'm going to keep it pushing. So, right now, it's a totally different breed down there right now. Boy, I mean, I'm talking about the whole boatload is down there. Police everywhere, boy. You know what I'm saying? So I know the people like, yo, we needed this. And I agree with them. I agree with the people. They do need that. They need peace and love. And I love you guys, and I'm out.
Wow. I love that. That guy's a trucker, truck driver, coming through Memphis, running loads. Man, God bless that guy. But it is true. There is like a vibe here. And I can't wait to see that happen in Portland and Chicago because there is a definitive change. I mean, Dylan, you took the Mrs. Producer. Her birthday was over the weekend. So you guys went downtown.
Yeah. And it was nice. I did see a lot of police, which is, to me, it's very refreshing because obviously they're taking the crime off the streets. So, I mean, we walked around, you know, walked down the street at night.
Wow, felt pretty safe down there.
It felt fine. He described it well. The vibe is just different.
Yeah,
more people are out, and yeah, it's just nice.
Was your car still there?
Car was still there,
intact.
Windows intact.
Wow,
nothing under the car stolen.
Wow,
converter.
What?
Yeah,
I'm impressed already. See, what a great change.
This exactly. You could bring the caddy down there.
Well, I don't know about that.
I don't know.
I'm not too sure about that. I'll wait another week or two.
Yeah.
But mainly, though, I think it's the vibe, and that's what people have been talking about. We got a little bit of, dare I say, swagger, you know, because we're starting to feel safer, and they're getting these very dangerous thugs off the street. So I'm excited for you guys in Portland and Chicago because you're going to love it. You're going to love it. Oh, by the way, before we go to break, can we talk about Texas for a moment? What in the world is going on there? Wesley Hunt, the congressman, who's done a great job in Congress, by the way, in the House of Representatives, is launching a bid for the U.S. Senate. And it's got Republicans freaking out right now. So this is John Cornyn's seat, and you've already got Ken Paxton who's jumped in, and he's going to primary John Cornyn. Now people are really concerned that Wesley Hunt entering the race is just going to blow this thing up, and it could give Democrats the upper hand. So they're concerned about this three-way battle for the nomination, and Republican strategists say that none of the candidates are going to get enough votes to win the March 3rd primary outright, which would force a runoff in May. And again, this is all about eating up dollars. Eating up the campaign dollars. Senate Leadership Fund urged leaders over the weekend to fund Cornyn and get behind him. Well, he's a rhino. They say that Paxton is a weak candidate who puts the Senate seat at risk in the general election. Hunt, by the way, placed a $1.2 million ad buy for a spot that ran in markets like Austin, Dallas, Houston, and Waco, and San Antonio, by the way. So I'm curious to all you Houston folk out there, who do you like in this race? Do you want Wesley Hunt to run for the Senate, or are you happy with this guy in the House of Representatives? Give us a call, 901-260-5926. Dylan, I don't know what it is with my voice. It's raspy today. I think it's the weather.
You need some honey tea.
Oh, or a root beer.
Mm-hmm.
That'll work. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. And by the way, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. Senator Bill Cassidy is going to be joining us from Louisiana. Also, Winsome Sears will be back with us tonight. We're also going to have an interesting conversation. Caleb Park, our friend and correspondent there at Newsmax, has a story about churches in America. And it's pretty shocking the number of churches that are shutting down. They're just closing their doors. We're going to be talking about that. with a great panel with Scott Pauley, who is an evangelist, and Dave Delaney, who's the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Long Beach, California, and that church is growing by leaps and bounds. So that's going to be a fascinating conversation, and looking forward to that tonight at 5 o'clock. We'll also do a deep dive into what's happening. We're going to be talking to Betsy Brantner-Smith regarding the attacks on police officers in the Chicago area. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, there's been a lot of talk about Charlie Kirk. We just had the young man calling from Ocala, Florida, Frank, a 28-year-old young guy. And you know, it's interesting. A lot of people are now sitting down and they're starting to listen to some of the things that Charlie had to say. And they're coming to realize that all of the garbage coming from the left is just, well, it's all not true. Take a listen to Cut 7.
So I did it. For the past 3 days, man, I've been sitting around just listening to this guy, Charlie Kirk's message, because every single place that I hear, especially from black people, is that this man was a racist. And I'm putting this on everything, man. You guys need to be ashamed of yourself. To listen to the lies that this man is somehow pushing some racist rhetoric. I heard him say some of the most uplifting things about black people. I listened to countless interviews of friends of his that were black that spoke so highly of this man. And they talked about his cause as though it was the coming of Jesus. And the more I'm watching this, the more I tend to agree with it. This man's message was pure. It was not a message of hate. It was a message of unity, a message of you are not a slave anymore. Anything that God put you here on this earth to do, you can do it. He sent so many young black kids to the White House to get the political experience. Man, I think I just barely scratched the surface as to what this guy's purpose was. But I'll say it, man. I said, I think we lost a good one. And the fact that he will go down in history as a racist by half of this country, man, I think that it's a shame. I really think it's a shame. I pray for us, and I hope that we heal, man, because the people who push this, and the fact that they know that you won't go and check, and they can just say that anybody's racist, and they know that you are not going to go and check, they got you, man. They got us all, actually. This country could be so much better, man. So much better. But power and greed, I'm telling you, is something else.
Well, it is, and I appreciate that guy posting that on X, and it's gone viral now. And I think that's really a lesson for all of us, is you cannot take anything at face value. You've got to do your own research. You've got to do your own deep dive. And if you can do that, and if you can take the time to do that, then you're going to discover that a lot of the stuff the left is telling us is just simply not true. And we're going to have to really encourage people to do that and really hold their hand along the way. And I hope that people listen to this guy's message, because there's so much hate and division out there, and it's all coming from the left. All of it is coming from the left, every single bit of it. Now, we're going to be paying a close eye on what's happening in Chicago and Portland. The president's going to have to do something. There's going to have to be some sort of a federal intervention here. You can't have cities just basically secede from the union, and that's what Chicago is trying to do and what Portland may have already done. All right, we've got to scoot out of here, folks. Hey, don't forget ToddStearns.com. Go read our stories, fresh content, original content. Download our podcast free of charge at ToddStearns.com. Be good, America.